Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotic provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. I'm Bic, behind the glass. Dom, intern Zach, running the show today. You can be part of the show as well. 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Dunbar Lumber, three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver. Online at dunbarlumber.com. We'll connect with a couple of people today. Rob Friend from the Vancouver Football Club. Vancouver FC, the owner, they got a game tomorrow. He'll join us in about 10, 12 minutes. Brendan Batchelor will join us in the second half of the show. The voice of the Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. We'll connect with them down the Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Hotline. The first call, the only call. We're feeling festive, though, here today on the People Show. Myself and Dominic Schermatti, just reveling in a Champions League pageantry of Manchester City being knocked out. We're loving
no
life
English
right
clubs
now.
Left, Bic.
Yeah, I mean that's whatever.
That's what we want to see.
But some drama near the end of it. We'll get into some of it later on in the show, because I'm sure Batch will be pretty happy and pumped up too.
But we were supposed to have Randeep Janda on the show today.
You know what? All right, should we spill the tea on that before we get to the tea?
No, let's save it. That's all a little right. Tease for later.
Oh, a little tease. I see you working. All right, let's get to the tea.
The biggest piece of tea there, Bic, the Canucks are Pacific Division champions.
Yeah, and I was talking about this yesterday, and I know Yannick kind of scoffed at the idea. And look, we all know what's really important here, obviously, right? Nobody remembers that time the Canucks, you know, started winning division titles in 08, 09 and all that sort of stuff. You don't make them as big memories, obviously. It's what happens thereafter. Can you go win a Stanley Cup? Understand that that's the most important thing. Now that it's confirmed, I was going to bring this up yesterday, but I'll bring it up now that it's confirmed here. You know, I think what's important about it is winning division, to me, much like making the third round, to me, kicks off an era. And you go through every team here that's done it in the salary cap world. Basically, you win a division, it starts something up for you. Whether it's, you know, the Getzlaff era in Anaheim, right? They get their... Obviously, a Stanley Cup in the Pronger, Niedermeyer era, but Getzlaff, as the true, you know, core of that team, they go on to get six consecutive playoff runs. And starting to do that is obviously the standard everybody wants to see Vancouver achieve, because more opportunities in the playoffs, more consistent runs, more opportunities to go win the Stanley Cup. And the thing that everyone has not wanted to see is squeak in and get bounced, and maybe that's your only shot at it. Well, you go through the history here in the salary cap era, teams that win the division, it's very difficult to not be consistently in. And you go through it, and, you know, I mentioned Anaheim, and I'll just stick to the Western Conference, but, you know, Calgary started to do it with the Tkachuk era, but things ended there with Goudreau and Tkachuk. Well, the Canucks have everyone locked up. So I don't have the same fears that Calgary had to go through. Chicago had a Taze era. Colorado, they're in a McKinnon era. Now they went early in 2013 and 2014, and they skip a couple of years, and then they have all the success of making the playoffs consistently. It's been 7 and 10 years since that first win. So that's what you want to see. There's a Jamie Benn era in Dallas. There's a Roman Josi era in Nashville. They end up going to a cup final, right? It's consistently kind of being there. Joe Thornton era in San Jose. That's what everybody wants, obviously, and everybody wants to get to the final destination of a Stanley Cup. But I do think winning the division, to me, is something to, in the moment, celebrate for today, tomorrow, leading up to Sunday, which we think is going to be game one. And then you kind of say, all right, now the real picture starts to form, but the real picture is also forming of what an era could look like here in Vancouver with Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko. You know, those three guys are locked up, and JT Miller, you can throw in there, team MVP JT Miller. But that to me is the big signal here, is when you win the division, that opens up the opportunity to be a consistent winner. I know there's a lot of worry that, hey, was this just a one-year blip? There's not a lot of examples of teams just having a one-year blip. Florida had it in 2011, 2012. They get in once, they win the division, and they were bounced soon after. But then here comes Sasha Barkov a few years later, and they're doing their Barkov era right now, throwing Ekblad in there. Six playoff appearances and 7-10. It's been really strong. And so there's only just a couple of teams that you could go through in the cap era where they haven't been consistently in the playoffs. Doesn't mean they win the divisions every year, but they're consistently in the playoffs, and it's a big one for Vancouver to get that Pacific Division. Something Edmonton's not even done. Something LA. LA hasn't won a division title since 1990. It's really strange. You really go through it, and winning this title is huge. Obviously, LA's had their success with multiple cups. You don't talk about the divisions, obviously, for them. You talk about the Stanley Cups, but to me, this is a big signal that they are ready to be in the playoffs consistently.
Look for a depleted roster in Winnipeg as talk rests some guys.
Yeah, I'm curious to talk about this with Batch. If you had to do like a draft, and maybe we'll do this with Batch, of guys you have to rest for Winnipeg, who do you take first? And because Demko is coming off the injury stretch, he's going to play, but you start kind of going through the power rankings of who to drop out of the lineup for Thursday against the Jets. You know, Quinn Hughes probably leads the list for me. And just to, hey, ease up. I know he's putting up historic numbers this year too. And hey, if he can get 92, 93 points, that's an unbelievable mark for a D-man. It doesn't even make sense to me at times, especially here given the history in Vancouver. But that, I think, would be massive to just alleviate a little bit of the mileage on Quinn Hughes. They've done a good job. It's not like it's November again when he's playing, you know, 28, 29 minutes consistently. There was a game against San Jose where he chalked up 29 minutes, and I just thought, this is too much right now. They got him down to 21 the other day, 24 yesterday against Calgary in the victory. So maybe just another day off and start moving towards. But certainly something they should look for, given some guys some days off here.
We have some team awards to announce after last night. Let's start here. The team MVP, JT Miller, not Quinn Hughes.
I'm surprised. I thought we were like lockstep and unanimous about who the team MVP was this year. I was stunned yesterday. I understand winning most exciting player for JT Miller. I totally get that, especially with the crowd buzzing throughout the course of the season, showing their affection towards JT. That made a ton of sense for me. That goal against Colorado, a couple other moments, like he's been fantastic for most exciting. I was just of the assumption that, you know, being in play for the Norris, being in play for the Hart, the most obvious vote was team MVP was Quinn Hughes. I'm floored. Not that JT doesn't have a claim to team MVP. I was just stunned that it was not Quinn Hughes. I think as much as we talk about getting votes wrong and stuff like that, in a good season, I don't have a big bone of contention with JT Miller making it, but I just thought it was Quinn Hughes the whole way. I was surprised other people felt differently. Text in 650-650.
For the second time in as many years, your unsung hero is Dakota Joshua. Someone should sing his praises, Bick. Someone should sing Dakota's praises.
Okay, you tell me. Isn't the whole point of winning the award to say that you've been sung?
Yes.
Right? Like, to win it back-to-back feels strange to me. Like, you win the award. That's the acclaim. Here's all the times we forgot about you. We recognize you. We remember you. You're important. And you've been better this season. And we've talked a lot about the third line of a Bluger, Garland, and Joshua. They've been such an important facet to this team. I'm pretty floored that he won it again. This is strange to me, but I guess he fits the role of it all. Just, you know, the depth scoring. He's a PKer. I guess it wasn't going to be Ilya Mikheyev with a little bit of an absence and a lack of overall production, given where he was slotted in the lineup. But Joshua, you know, I guess he fits the build. I guess Pew Suter to me would be the unsung one.
Oh, Casey DeSmith, Bick. Casey DeSmith.
Yeah, but the thing is like the if it was the 5.5 week stretch that he took over was in December, rather than near the end of the season when they were going to the playoffs. I think he probably steps out far and away. Or if he had just played like the regular, you know, allotment of games throughout the course of the year, and they managed to get him, you know, 29, 30 starts anyways, rather than having to shoehorn some extra because Demko's absence, and he ends up playing, you know, getting 37 points. I think that would be a way people look at it and say, like, hey, he's done the job. But Casey DeSmith would be a good one. You know, he didn't play enough, but I would love to have seen Noah Juulsen maybe be in consideration. But I guess Dakota Joshua, back-to-back unsung hero awards. I thought winning it last year would take you out of it.
By the way, you know who was unsung last night in the awards category? Elias Pettersson. No awards. Completely left off the awards ballot. Completely. It's gone. Nothing.
Maybe he was unsung. We sat here and battled the value of Elias Pettersson in a season where he's got just shy of 90 points. Constant conversation around Elias Pettersson. He signed the contract. He should be unsung.
I agree.
He's stayed in here for the next 8 years. He's done that for you. It should be unsung there.
There's always next year, Vic. There's always next year. team, this is from, so we've heard this from Irf. We're now hearing this from Jason Bukala. Teams aren't afraid of the Canucks heading into the playoffs.
Okay, what are players supposed to say, right? Like, when you know you're going to the playoffs, do you think players are actually going to say, hey, I'm scared of that team?
You're going to pay respect to your opponent.
But you have fear? Like, having respect and having fear are two different things. You know you're going to the playoffs. If you're telling me in December, you ask these guys, be like, oh, yeah, that's a really good team. You don't know if you're going to the playoffs yet.
But to say you're not sweating an opponent, that, I don't know.
Right, but if he says, oh, like, we're really terrified, how's that going to play in his room? Just to say, oh, we don't fear that team, that's the other team's problem. Like, let Vancouver sort that out. And, yeah, it might be bulletin board material, but, like, what do you expect people to say? Oh, man, like, oh, we're really terrified of going against the LA Kings. You're going to motivate that team and say, like, oh, wow, we got this chance to just knock over this pushover team because that's what they're looking to be. And your teammates going to look at you and be like, dude, you're afraid? You're a professional hockey player. Come on. We got a chance. Of course they're going to say
just
we're
say
we're
that's
not
a good team
anything.
Over there, a la Willie D. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we can move on from that. The next bit of tea. There is still uncertainty about when the playoffs will start for Vancouver, but consensus currently seems like Sunday will be game one and Tuesday will be game two in Vancouver.
Yeah, so for the home crowd, that looks, you know, one day rest and you get after it on the weekend. The worry is what the rest of this series looks like and how truncated it gets in the back end, because it feels like it's building towards, at some point, a back-to-back at some point, and that just sucks. Like, you can do it in the bubble. There's no travel. Guys are back in it, and it's silly, but you can do it in the bubble. Doing it here, if there's back-to-backs, this is a major, major misstep by the NHL. And I don't understand how you can't just get this. Look, I know concert schedules and all that sort of stuff, but just take the extra day. You've pushed this so long. It's April 17th at this stage. Playoffs haven't even started, and you're forcing the playoffs to be a bit of a mismatch. You gotta sort the whole schedule out. It has to go a lot quicker. Start earlier in September. You can't be in a scenario where you're doing back to backs in the playoffs. This is what you highlight. You sit there and say, hey, we make it difficult to make the playoffs, and it's 82 games. It's a grind, but it's the best product you'll see in sport. It's the toughest trophy to win. Oh, by the way, we're also going to make it really tough for the teams that might have to play a back to back. It's just ridiculous by the league. Sunday game one, Tuesday game two would be fantastic, but we'll see what the full schedule looks like. If there's back-to-backs, it's such a bad job by the NHL not setting up their teams for success. All right, a lot to get into on the show, but let's go down the Dispatch Plumbing and Heating and Air Conditioning Hotline, the first call, the only call. Joining us now, Vancouver FC owner, it is Rob Friend, and also a former Vancouver or Canadian national team member as well. Rob, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Fantastic start for the squad, getting their first victory of the season. Really fast out against Valor this weekend and home opener and season two now for Vancouver FC. Before we get to the match, just the progress to get to the stage here for season two, what have you noticed of what's different and what's come by easier, I guess, getting set for season two?
Yeah, I mean, look, any startup, any sports startup is challenging, especially in the Lower Mainland. As we all know, it's a very difficult sports market, very crowded, I'd say. So, you know, it was a challenge last year, no question. You know, to start with a new franchise, a new club, new players, you know, tough to carve out what the identity of the club is. So really, we worked hard in this off season to what are we as a club, you know, which is fantastic entertainment for your dollar. You know, our ticket prices are one of the lowest in pro sports in Vancouver, and then really working with local players, you know, local Vancouver boys that have been playing professionally abroad, bringing them home, bringing some of the best talent into our club. So you know, players like Grady McDonald, who's arguably one of the best young players in this country. You know, all the top clubs in Europe are looking at him. So really forming an experienced squad with, you know, BC boys, Vancouver boys, the younger players as well, the talent pool coming up, building off, I'd say, what was our highlights last year with, again, younger players like James Cameron going to the U20 national team, TJ Tahid, you know, bringing him up into the U17 World Cup that he played in November. So I think it's a very exciting mix of obviously experienced Vancouver boys, young players, And then, you know, obviously starting strong against Valor, scoring four goals, exciting game. We got an eagle flying around the stadium pregame. So, you know, I think it's just fantastic entertainment, great professional soccer, and cheering on local players.
I wanted to ask about one of them. David Norman gets a goal in the season opener as well. And you just mentioned that local talent, just trying to covet it here. What does that mean just to get all the local squad and building the overall sentiment that this is very organic and this is very local for the club?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's an opportunity for fans to watch local professionals and players like David that have gone on. He came from England and Ireland last year. He played in the Irish Cup in front of 60,000, bringing him home. Obviously, he scored a goal. Paris G., been in Croatia, then he was playing in Toronto. Coming back home, he scored a fantastic goal the other day. So again, it's an opportunity for our fans, you know, young aspiring players to come watch these boys play professionally in their hometown. You know, I think it's about aspiring the next generation, providing an opportunity for the next generation, and giving the fans, you know, really something, an identity that they can come to, you know, Langley Event Center and watch those local boys play.
Massive win, obviously, largest one for the squad, and 4-1. And do you see the progress from a footballing standpoint of where the team has developed from last year to this year, and what excites you about it moving forward?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think winning five of the last seven games at the end of season, really, we made some changes in the summer. Taking that core group that was getting us the success in the season at the end of the season, building on that foundation, bringing in, again, guys like Paris G, Davey Norman, Ben Fisk, experienced players, and building on top of, I'd say, the foundation we laid last year. You know, look, it's one game, but it was a very exciting game. A lot of people are already talking about us. So, you know, if we can get off to a strong start, you know, we got the game tomorrow against Halifax, and then an extremely important game in football in Canada and football in Vancouver is our cup game against Calgary. Why is that important? Because if we win that, it'd be the first Vancouver derby in history, which would be Vancouver FC versus Vancouver Whitecaps. We got to get past Calgary, but you know, I think that would be a tremendous game for local football here in Vancouver.
That one's next week on
the Calgary game's
Tuesday.
On the Tuesday, yeah, away to, yeah. Calgary. Obviously, we got to take care of business, but, you know, the players, the organization knows what's on the line, which is, you know, the first derby ever in Vancouver, mm-hmm. home and away, if we win that game. We got to get past Calgary, tough game, but, you know, so there's a lot of opportunity this season.
Tomorrow, you're playing Halifax at home. And it's also Partner Appreciation tonight, presented with the Canucks Autism Network as well. So take us through what's happening tomorrow and another event night for Vancouver FC.
Yeah, no, obviously partnering with Canucks Autism, you know, fantastic organization. I think supporting what they're doing. I believe our supporters, you know, obviously they're loud and proud, but to provide sort of a sensory game for that game tomorrow. So I think that'll be unique and special. So supporting that organization, and then we have our Pink Blossom jerseys, which sold out in 12 hours, got international recognition for the fantastic design, those Pink Blossom jerseys. So we're going to debut those tomorrow, and $5 of those jerseys go back to anti-bullying. So I think it's a fantastic campaign and a great game tomorrow to celebrate the jerseys, work with Canucks Autism, and obviously a great game against Halifax.
Those are tremendous jerseys. I saw the release on social, and they look just fantastic, very creative. And I imagine, you know, being a new, young club, and chances are there for you to take to be a bit more expansive and a bit more creative in marketing opportunities.
Well, that's it, right? We have to, how do we differentiate in this sports market, right? So again, local identity, opportunity, you know, a great atmosphere in the stadium, really, you know, great value, you know, tons of food trucks, you know, a ton of activities for the kids, great family event. You know, the give back to on the jerseys. And so really, I believe it's a great product on and off the field. And, you know, it's still year two, it's still early, but, you know, really you're seeing a lot of strides we made from last year, again, on and off the field. And, you know, we got to keep building off it.
You mentioned there was a sellout of those kits. Is there a, another planned release or anything like that?
There is. We were able to get some new ones, but, it was the first time ever on the Macron website, which is obviously Macron's our jersey supplier.
Yeah.
They sold out in 12 hours. It was the first time ever any jersey release our great marketing team, Steph Wood there, and you know, and obviously the great cause that we've gotten behind.
We should check them out if you haven't seen the Cherry Blossom kits. They are brilliant. Either you're getting the kit or you're heading to a match. They're planned tomorrow against Halifax. And again, hopefully we see a Vancouver derby as well. Rob, we appreciate the time, and best of luck moving forward here.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Anytime.
It's Vancouver FC owner Rob Friend joining us here on The People's Show. Vancouver FC, again, going tomorrow, 7 o'clock over in Langley against the Halifax Wanderers. And those kits, they look spectacular. Yeah, didn't get a hand on one of them myself, so hopefully the second release. I'm able to get them, you're able to get them, because they look just really, really brilliant. And tapping into the local scene as well with the Cherry Blossoms. Before we go to break, Dom, we have some conflicting reports about what happened here.
Yes. Yeah, so this morning when I booked Randy Janda in for the show, he jokingly mused at me that if Arsenal were to lose their Champions League match against Bayern Munich.
Which, by the way, they did.
They did.
Let's
1-0.
Let's point that out. We're happy to discuss the Man City game, but we should also note Arsenal is bounced out as well.
I was like, okay, funny, haha, that's, you know, all good. I get it. You're salty. But I thought it was a joke. I thought it'd be, you know, whatever. Only to find that after the Arsenal lost, actually lost, he texts me and he said, yeah, no, I'm not coming on today, LOL. At that point, I took it as, oh, he's serious. Like, he doesn't want to join the show.
He's scared to compete.
I guess. Just didn't want to face, you know, didn't want to face a couple United supporters on The People's Show.
Sure.
Which I understand. You know, we can be annoying, Vic, no doubt.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and booked other United supporter, Brendan Batchelor, in his stead for the show. Only to have Randeep text me saying he was joking the whole time and that I didn't pick up on the joke. So Randeep, apparently, according to him, was available. And I just misread the text, so we are
lost
now,
in translation via text.
I guess so. So now we have the United supporter batch on, and United's
so
Randeep's just waiting in the wings. So
we're highlighting this to preserve Randeep's honor here.
I guess. I mean, I did screw up at the end of the day, and I am nothing but accountable. So
Hey, we're pro accountability on the show.
Yeah, facts only.
Yeah. All right. Well, our hat still goes off to Randy Janda, and hopefully he can lick his wounds for a 1-0 Joshua Kimmich.
And how much does that suck, eh? You get so close.
He thought he was going to brighten his day by coming on to talk to us. And he's like, hey, if they lose, at least I'll have some fun talking to Bick. And now we just have to sit there and wallow in memories of a 1-0 loss.
I had a new bottle sponsor, too, for his hits on 650.
Is it Prime? Or are they not Prime? All right. We got to get out of here. Brendan Batchelor, the voice of your Canucks, coming up here on the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.